We're right at the cusp of seeing a lot of distress happening. One of the biggest challenges that we're seeing right now, and I see some of the operators maybe not as concerned about their investors as maybe themselves. If you're in a deal right now, you should be looking at the operator who has the experience. I think we have to get away from this idea of short-term ideas. I think we need to be looking at a longer-term strategy.
You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we are all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, the recovering engineer turned multifamily investor, Chad Sutton.
All right, everybody. Today we have Julianne Peterson, old friend of mine with Old Capital Lending. Very experienced woman in the capital markets. This woman's a connector, and she has a lot of knowledge of what's going on right now. So I can't wait to introduce her to you. And we're going to have a pretty frank conversation about what she's seeing in the market today. I'm going to tell you, spoiler alert, it's not all good. Most of it's bad, actually. And, you know, if you're an operator who has short-term debt or is having any sort of lender trouble, you should listen to this to kind of hear what some of your options are. And let's get right into it. Look, if you get any value out of this show, just interact with it. Subscribe, like, star it, whatever you're watching it on, swipe right, you know, whatever you're watching it on, just do something with it. Share it with a friend. That's all I ask. Write a review, just something. That is how we pay it forward and get to more people just like you. We don't advertise the show. We don't pay to, you know, do anything like that. We just rely on word of mouth and referrals and reviews and things like that. So let's get right into the show. Here we go. All right, all right, all right. Real Estate Runway family, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sutton. We're powered by Quattro Capital on this episode, and I'm here with an old friend, Julianne Peterson, Senior Director with Old Capital Lending. This is one of the oldest and most prestigious capital markets firms in the country, specifically around commercial real estate. Julie, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited about today's visit and our chat today.
Yeah. You know, as with most episodes, when I bring highly, you know, known players on the show here, and sometimes it's hard to coordinate schedules. So I appreciate you, you know, carving out time for me and all those back and forth emails we had to get this done. But here we are today. Julie, tell us about yourself. I know you, I've known you for years, but the listeners mm-hmm. do not. You know, tell us where you came from, what got you into this world, and who you are today.
Yeah, sure. So originally I'm from Chicago. I live in San Diego now. Been around back and forth, back to Chicago, back to California. Started in the bicycle industry, actually. I was bike racing at one time. Got into as a manufacturer's rep for a bicycle company all in Los Angeles. Bought my first house when I was 22 years old in Los Angeles. And we ended up getting looted because of one of the riots that came through.
Oh, wow.
And my business took a dump, and I had to give my first property that I had ever bought to a friend of mine for $4,000. I always said I do not want to pay a landlord money to live. So I got into my first asset as quick as possible, lost $80,000, gave this guy again my first property to a friend for $4,000. He made payments for 12 years. In fact, after 30 some years now, he's finally sold it. Went to the Bay Area, bought a second property, and doubled our money. So as some of you may be experiencing, it's not all fun and games, right? It's up and down. My company is called, that I own separately from Old Capital, is called Dancing Investments, because investments do not just go straight line, up or down. They kind of dance. You know, I've been doing this for quite some time, but what I found to be the biggest struggle is that lenders would say, you know, go away. You don't know what you're doing. And at the time, being a young female, I found that to be quite off-putting. And I said, I'm never going to put somebody in that position, like just go away. So really my platform coming to Old Capital 8 years ago, I said, I want to help as many people understand how I can help them on the lending side, because that is one of the biggest challenges, especially in today's market. You know, 8 years ago, it wasn't that way. You'd come to us. It was, oh, you know, really great market. Here's a 10-year loan doing yield maintenance. And the whole structure has totally changed now. So again, I'm here to help answer questions, to really be a partner in the deal. You know, when we think about lending itself, a lot of people say it's the commoditized environment. Oh, I can go get that for cheaper. That's not what Old Capital does. That's not what Julie at Old Capital does. We really want to educate our clients. So that's kind of a little bit about me. I call my desk the control tower because I'm looking at deals to help my clients, you know, here, put them in this asset, you know, introduce them to brokers. I'm also looking for it for myself and my partner to go and buy ourselves. I also capital raise. So I do a lot of different titles in what I do for commercial real estate.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Julie. You know, you've been around doing this for a long time. You've seen some of the ups and downs, you know, and we're in some interesting times today as of this recording. It is October 2023. So for many of you, you feel like you've been taking kidney punches for the last 12 to 18 months. But, you know, really? It is a cycle and here we are. So, you know, in the spirit of education, I mean, so from someone who is in the capital market space, you literally, Old Capital probably sees, at least touches just about every transaction out there, or at least, you know, has a great enough sample size to know what the market is today. You know, what does it take to get deals done today? What is the money that's available out there? So just, I just want to generically open it up and see where you go from here. Julie, what are you seeing out there? You know?
Oh man, it is tough. It's a tough time, right? And we're right at the cusp of seeing a lot of distress happening. A lot of people said, oh, this is going to be the best year. We're going to have so many opportunities. Somebody said, I went to a conference, said, we're going to make the most amount of millionaires this year. That was in 2022. Not so much. You know, May 22 really changed things with the interest rates going up so significantly. We're what, at 14 increases since that time. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of people, good people, not people that were ignorant, people that really just got caught up in an asset that had bridge on it. And, you know, when we talk about bridge, you know, we were doing deals that were at 85% loan to cost. So you would only have to bring in 15% down payment. And we're going to turn these real quickly. And a lot of people did in the early years. But today we're finding that we can't get people out of these bridge debt loans, really struggling to figure out, okay, what's the next step for you? Can we sell it? You know, there's usually three options. Can we sell it? Can we sell it at what you bought it for? Can we sell it for what the debt is on it? Can we put you into a HUD loan? You got 35, 40 years. It's actually 35 on a HUD, but is that a good option for you? Or can we get you into another bridge-to-bridge loan? So there's a lot of options, but not good options, let's say, right? And we're seeing a lot of people having to do capital calls. I know that you've been very reactive to capital calls, right? You guys are putting a debt fund together, which is amazing, right? To help get you over this hump, trying to figure out how you can get these deals to continue to move and prosper. That is both the lending and the expense side of deals today is just really challenging.
Yeah. And it's super interesting, you know, kind of the behavior that we're seeing, right? So you have a couple of camps that I think people are in, and you're right. Some of them are, well, gee, my loan is maturing at a really bad time because, you know, rates are literally more than 2x what they were, you know, for an equivalent loan just 18 months ago, which is, it's tough on anyone's underwriting, even responsible underwriting to make that work. So, you know, you're kind of seeing people who were caught there. And I think, you know, more so our case, we, you know, fortunately we have been able to refinance handsomely everything we've had just because we had good basis on those. But where we are having trouble, you know, and I'm sure others are as well, the balance sheet of the bridge lender is also under fire because, you know, a lot of these loans that were made, to your point, they may not be able to refinance them out, which puts their capital structure in danger. And so what we have found is, you know, despite the fact of executing per contract and everything we were supposed to be doing, you know, some of these lenders are just refusing to release construction draws, which creates a big cash problem. And oh, by the way, as the operator, if you can't execute your plan to get to the higher valuation, there's a challenge of whether you can get out or not. So I'm curious, are you seeing, you know, a lot of that camp as well, or more so? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chad, on our own deal that we own down in Houston, you know, it took us 5 months to get our draws. We lost a lot of good rents, possibilities in that 5 months. And that was very challenging for all of us. And we went to the lender and the lender said, well, you should have infused your own capital, which we actually did. So it's been a challenge, to say the least. And what we're seeing a lot of people doing now is backing off on their CapEx budget, right? They're not going to go to the 100% renovation. They're going to stop maybe midstream and say, this is all we've got right now.
So it's about conserving cash is what you're saying. Yeah.
It is about conserving cash. And it's really about leasing up as much as you possibly can, keeping those tenants in place, maybe raising their rents just a little bit, keeping your cash flow as high as possible. We're not doing any, and we're not seeing a lot of people paying out at all on their distributions. And, you know, we see a lot of people backing out saying, I'm not going to continue to put money into these deals from an operation standpoint and from an investor standpoint. You know, when it goes to the capital call position, people are really saying, how long are we going to hold this? Should I be putting my capital into this? Because what's it going to take, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the road? Yes, I'm going to maybe buy another rate cap to continue to stay in this loan. But what are we going to need in another year? Are we going to have to infuse more capital? So that's been a real challenge from our standpoint. Can we get pref equity for a lot of our clients? Pref equity has been a challenge. Everybody says, oh yeah, this is a great time to put pref equity on deals. Lenders they don't like to be have a second position lien on the property. A lot of these pref equities, it's not large enough that they want to get involved in it. So again, it's been quite a challenge.
So what options do you think, I guess, for those who are listening as operators? We have a good mix on this show of some are LP investors and some are operators, right? And it's very interesting that we attract that mix. But for those out there who either are an LP in a deal who's not paying distributions and may be succumbed to this issue, and those who are, you know, operators out there, how do you see the lender behavior on maturities right now? So for example, if you're at a maturity or you're coming up on one, and if you're in a bridge loan, you know, we've talked about folks on the show, those are the ones that are shorter term and typically designed to get you to the longer term financing, but they're floating rate. They may have a rate cap coming due or a maturity date, meaning the loan is almost, you know, fulfilled its life cycle and you have to do something. Are you finding people having success restructuring loans, or has it been a pretty hard conversation on get out or hand me the keys? Like, how are you seeing the behavior out there?
Yeah, I would say probably in the last 6 months. 6 months ago, it was no, you know, figure it out. And I think we're starting to see more distress assets, and we're seeing a lot more of these debt funds that are saying, I don't really want to take your asset back. Let's see where you're at with the debt yield. Let's see if we can work on this together. Originally, it was, you need to do all of the renovations that you said. Well, I ran into some problems. I ran into some higher costs. Now they're saying, okay, maybe you don't have to do all of it. What can we do to help you? So I think, you know, looking forward, I think there's going to be more of that restructuring. They're not going to give up. They're not going to say, you don't have to pay us. None of that. But I think that there's going to be some more conversations and openness. Because again, they don't want to take back these assets. They're in business to rent you the money and get it back. That's not happening. So what are they going to do to help? And I think over the next 6 to 12 months, it's really going to open a lot of conversations with these debt funds. It's not a clear-cut answer. It's not, you didn't pay me, like it would be, let's say, a year ago. You didn't pay me, I'm taking it back, or we're going to just sell it and you can make some money on it. I think that there's going to be a lot of creativity. And when I say creativity, it's not like you're going into single family where, you know, there's a lot more creative financing options. This is going to be more of, hey, we're going to extend this. We want to make sure that this is not really a short-term investment. How can we do this? Whether it's a five-year loan, let's add the extra two extensions onto your three-year loan, right? Because, you originally were headed for 3 years, maybe another two extensions, and then have the conversation. Can we do it now? Can we get into an agency loan? Can we sell, you know, at, let's say, even the loan amount? Again, I just don't think it's clear cut the way it's going to do down the road.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting thing to think about, folks, because, you know, one school of thought is some of these assets were purchased in the last 3 years, which may or may not have been a pretty historic run-up in prices, so be careful with that. But, you know, there's a thought of, do you delay and try to fight for the next 5 years on something that may not have a future, or do you go ahead and get out of it now at par, return capital, say, whoops, this one didn't work, let's go do another one? And I can't answer that question for you because it's not a clear-cut answer. If you're in a hopeless situation, and by hopeless, I mean, you know, maybe you did take out debt at 85% and you were levered to the moon and back at the highest valuations in history, and now your property's worth 60% of what it was once worth, you may have to think through, what are my options on, can I refinance this now? Can I put some cash in and pay the loan down? Like, how can you maintain control of the asset? But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, is that the best use of my capital or my investor's capital going forward? So, you know, it's interesting because you're not really sure which direction to go in some of these cases. So, I mean, have you seen any examples of these decisions already being made, given that we see some lenders starting to work with the clients and restructure? But then, you know, of course, there's the hopeless situation as well, where it's so highly levered, it's underperforming by 40%. And, you know, you may just need to cut throat on that one.
Yeah, no, we've seen auctions. We've seen distressed deals. I've got 7 deals in Jacksonville that, you know, unfortunately, they're just not cash flowing. They're not even at the loan amount, and they're going to have to bring in. It's like, what's the least amount of loss here? And when we think about, is it return on capital or is it return of capital? And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing right now. And I see some of the operators maybe not as concerned about their investors as maybe themselves, because they're looking into the future. They're looking into the future of saying, can I stay in this? Can I get more loans for the future? And how do I minimize my loss? Maybe not necessarily their investors, but for them to stay in this industry. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate, but I think that is, people jumped into this industry real strong in the last 3 years. We were in COVID. All this money was coming in, and they all talked to their friends, hey, let's do multifamily. You've got, you know, 10%. I got 10%. Let's go and get into this, quit our jobs. They took on all of these acquisition fees, and they're now trying to figure out, where do I fit in here? How do I continue to stay afloat? And, you know, if you're in a deal right now, you should be looking at the operator who has the experience. If you're thinking, hey, this is not a long-term relationship I have with this operator, it might be something that you say, I'm not putting any more money into this deal. We're really saying in 2026 is when a lot of these deals are going to start to make sense. So if you can hold on with that operator and you see that things are going to be turning around, you know, yes, put more capital in it, but it might be just a return of your money, or even having to just say, hey, that's all you get. That's all the money I'm putting towards this opportunity that I, you know, got into 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, that's super important.
It's real unfortunate.
Nectar understands that raising capital is labor and time intensive, and we exist to solve that problem for you. Nectar provides fast, flexible, cash flow-based financing for experienced rental owners and operators. Whether you need cash for acquiring properties, portfolios, or you simply need it for ROI-generating renovations or expansion of staff, Nectar has your back. Grab your 12-month P&L with debt service and click the link in the show notes below to apply today.
Knowing who you're in business with is very important, right? And I think that the litmus test on some of these deals, there's kind of three things going on right now. The debt market, you know, obviously we've all been seeing on the news, interest rates have risen rapidly. We know why that is. We're not going to get into that on the show here, but in some markets more than others, there are very hefty expense line increases as well. And so, for example, you mentioned Jacksonville, Florida. Florida, for example, has had one of the largest payroll spikes in the country. It has had one of the largest insurance spikes in the country, not to mention other little knickknacks in the expense load. So if you're looking at a situation to where your deal is not cash flowing, and it probably won't cash flow no matter what debt you put on it in the future, it's a money pit. And you probably need to cut throat and get out of that. But if you're sitting on a deal, and I'm just going to throw in an example, Indiana. You know, Indiana has been a very mellow, landlord-friendly place. Taxes are pretty mellow. Insurance is pretty mellow. Payroll's kind of moderately up. And you just have a lender problem. Because we're kind of in a lender's market, not necessarily a buyer's or a seller's market. Lenders have had to change the rules because their rules change. And so if the problem just is a function of the debt on the property, and there's a way to either extend or restructure or, you know, hopefully get out of said temporary debt and get to something at least medium term, 4 or 5 year bank loan or something, that's probably worth putting money into, because in the end, what we know is 100% true. And granted, I've been wrong before, and the historians could be wrong. Since the beginning of the Fed, within 2 years average and 3 years max of the first rate hike comes the first rate cut. And we're what, almost 18, 20 months into rate hikes right now? So we're on the clock for a rate cut. An election year is next year. That doesn't necessarily correlate, but it adds pressure. If you can hold on, I think the motto is survive until 2025, right? And you mentioned in 2026, these may start making sense again.
Yeah.
My premonition is if you're just constrained by debt, find a way to hold on. As long as you know, as long as there is a path to cash flow and a path to, I don't mean distributions, I mean a path to the property cash flowing and staying safe. But if you have three different bullets pointed at you in that you have the tax problem and the insurance problem and the debt problem, it's probably not getting any better, and that value is going to reset. So you may need to get out while the knife is still falling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm looking at a deal right now that is in Texas. We're below what the rate of the loan is, how much the loan balance is. Now, who's going to come up with that? It's going back to the bank in 22 days. Who's going to be paying that? I'll tell you, the operator is not paying. So now, where's the value in that? Is the lender going to take on that debt and hold it for 2 years to bring it up to maybe where they want the value to it? Or are they going to discount it? 70, get down to 70% of that, the number, right? 60%, whatever that is, with the cap rates going up. There's a lot of moving pieces right now. And if it makes sense, again, if the operator is capable and has a very good long-term strategy, the best thing may be for you to stay in it and get maybe a bridge-to-bridge option. Again, we'd have to see what it looks like, but I think we have to get away from this idea of short-term ideas. I think we need to be looking at a longer-term strategy. Maybe it's 7 years. Maybe it's 10 years. Can we hold out? Does it make sense? Are we able to hold on to a lot of these people put, a lot of these operators, I should say, put in a rent growth for what, 14, 15, 20%. There's no way that we're going to continue on. But if you restructure, reforecast that your expense ratio down to what we're at, can you exist? And if you can, stay in it. I think long-term, it's going to come back. We're in a slump for 2 years. Can we make it? There's a possibility. If you're with a good operator, I think the future is certainly bright.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, Warren Buffett has a saying that when the water recedes, the naked man is exposed. Anyone who touched anything in the last, you know, 10 years pretty much turned to gold. You know, we had a few of those as well. That's why you saw good operators were able to even exit some deals in less than 2 or 3 years. And that doesn't happen. Yes. That's a unicorn. That's like flipping multifamily, you know?
Yeah.
But what you need to be looking at now is positioning yourself for the hold. And, you know, personally, I'm sure you have opinions on this, but I've been doing some refinances. You know, fortunately, on our bridge debt that we had, we were able to move the needle substantially. We weren't highly leveraged. And so even today, although we're so frustrated to have signed at 6.5% rates, right?
Yes.
We've so far been able to get out. And so that's been great. But, you know, we're looking at 5-year full-term interest-only agency product pretty much exclusively at this point. And the reason is what we found is anything balance sheet or anything regulated bank, things of that sort, they're scared of their own shadow right now. And so you think you may have proceeds here, and then by the time you close, they've dropped. Whereas at least with the agencies, Fannie and Freddie, if it fits in the box, it fits in the box, they'll get the proceed. That's it. It's totally numerical. There's no if, feeling, or what about it. And so that's been our best vehicle. You know, we've been loving Fannie Mae full-term interest only 5 years and whatever leverage we can get because, okay, it's assumable. We can put a supplemental on it down the road should things change and we decide to hold it. And if I decide to sell it, it might be an attractive loan assumption because it's still got full-term interest only. Like it's never going to start amortizing. I have seen that when people try to assume loans, they get a little frustrated when they find out, oh, that's amortizing. It's not as good as I thought, you know? So I don't know what you're seeing people gravitate towards who are able to refinance, but what are your thoughts on?
Yeah, I see. Well, we're really looking at 5 to 7 year loans are really the popular loan product right now. We're doing a lot of buy downs on the rate, right? So it's going to cost you, you're going to get a little bit more proceeds when you go that route, but it's going to be costly. The lenders actually like it when you're buying down the rate. It's a little bit more investment into the deal. Here's the thing. If you have a general partner that you're an investor in, we're going to see a glutton of opportunities, I think, in the next year. And do we want to wait until then? The operators that are looking at it today of, you know what, maybe I should be selling right now, probably are going to be selling it a little bit higher than what we're going to see because there's going to be so much influence and there's going to be so many people going after those deals that you might be better off selling it sooner than later. And again, the option of going into a step down 5 year, buying down the rate, listen, we're at the highest that we've seen a 10-year treasury right now. And of course, 7 and 5 as well since 1965. I mean, the 10-year treasury, which is where the agencies, they use that index plus the spread, it's the highest it's been. So do I think in the next 6 months that's going to change? My philosophy is no, it's not.
Not so, fast enough, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. So if you can get in now before there's a lot more distress, you might get a better price today than you would if you were to wait 6 to 12 months. I really think people should be spending time, operators should be looking at that seriously right now, as opposed to waiting. That's what I'm encouraging my clients to do. I'll obviously look at all the different options, but the sooner you can really put together a plan, get a BOV, figuring out what is the real loss here, the better you are. I do know that there are a lot of operators that are waiting, because the rate caps may come down. But I think it's so you're going to add another, it might cost you another $600,000-$700,000 to buy a rate cap, maybe even $1 million. Where's that cash flow coming from? That's the real question.
Yeah. And so I think that's the question you've got to ask yourself. If you're in a position where you can either refinance or just restructure and hold, maybe all of this doesn't matter to you and you've already got a 10-year loan in place and you're 3 years in, sit tight, puppy. Mm-hmm. Just sit tight, especially if you're cash flowing well, and you're going to do fine because what we're going through, it is a dip in the market. It is a dip in the prices, mainly driven by the flow of capital, which is driven by the debt, and it will rebound. We don't know to where it will rebound, but we do know that if, you know, you only get in trouble in this business if you run out of time or money. It all boils down to that. And so if you have time on your hands, if you have time on your loan, sit tight. If you have cash in the bank and your cash flowing, sit tight. There's no point in trying to move right now. But I think I agree with Julie. If you're in a dire situation, don't wait. Be proactive. Make a plan, check all your options, go to the brokers and see how you can sell it. Go to Julie, see how you can refinance it. Look at all the options and get a plan in place early because remember, it takes 3 to 4 months to do anything, you know? And so if you're 3 to 4 months away, you're already too late.
You know, Chad, I would also mention to you that people are taking the highest quotes, right? The best offers on these deals. And honestly, I think that's a short-sightedness from an operator's position because what we're seeing is there's a lot of retrading going on. And is that really your best buyer? I'd encourage operators to be looking at the experience of these operators who are coming and putting in offers. Because the worst thing you can do is get under contract, have to retrade it, bring in somebody else, you know, your second best buyer. And every time it trades, you're losing some capital, you're losing time. Make a good choice. If you're selling it and you've got an operator, make sure that it's the right operator to sell to.
Absolutely. You know, it's definitely on execution, you know, the likelihood of execution over numbers on a piece of paper right now. So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like always, if you're having trouble with anything like this, you know, reach out to Julie. I'll give you her contact here in a minute. Reach out to me. I'm happy to discuss, you know, with any of my listeners who may need just a second set of eyes or, you know, brainstorming session rather on what you may be able to do. I'll tell you, you know, we have not had it easy, but we have been successful in every fight we fought so far. Now that comes with not being highly leveraged. So I hope you're not either if you've been listening to me for years. But no matter if you're a long-term player, a short-term player, or you know, inexperienced or experienced, it's hard on everybody right now. We're all fighting battle we haven't fought in many, many years, some in our entire careers. And so reach out, happy to help. Julie, let's jump over to the Quattro questions real quick, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
All right. First one, what is your superpower in life or business? And how does it serve you?
Yeah. So I'm a connector. A lot of people come to me either trying to figure out, how do I do this? Who do I speak to? A lot of times I will put them in contact with whether it's a property manager, equity, possibilities, owners, operators. So that's always been my, since I was very young, connecting people. And I'm in the right place in my life with the structuring of my company because I can do so many different things and I can utilize that strength that I have.
I love that. And you kind of gave us a story on this earlier, but I'm curious, what is your biggest failure, life or business, and what'd you learn from it?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I have four kids. And as you know, small kids, small problems, big problems. So I wouldn't call it a failure. I think that, you know, when you have, I've got four kids in 5 years. So we were constantly busy. You know, Chad, how it is having little kids. I don't know if it's a failure, but there just was not enough time in the day to be able to give each child exactly what they needed. And I think if I were to look back, I wish I could have made for longer days so that each one I could have given them exactly what they needed at the time when they needed it. You know, if I were to do it again, I'd say I would want to put every day I would have for one child. So everyone felt so supported. I think that that's probably my biggest challenge and failure. If there was something, you know, you do the best you can as a parent.
To say the least, yes. And man, that's a beautiful thought. What if we had one day each for the kids, you know, individually? I've never even thought what that would be like.
Yeah. We get to do it now. Our kids come and visit us and we get to spend a really good quality time with each one of them. And you can't go backwards. You just enjoy what you have and how you've helped create their life and help them move forward. So
I love that. Yeah. So going on to the next question, we usually use this part of the show to talk about, you know, podcasts, free gifts, things like that. I know Old Capital has a fantastic podcast, but I'd love to just open it up and see what you'd like to offer to the audience right here, even if it's a conversation with you, which is highly valuable as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, always open to having conversations, how I can help you, obviously, and connect you with people that matter, who can, you know, extend you, get you closer to a deal. Also want to invite you to my Zoom at 8 every Tuesday night. I've been doing this for 4.5 years. I have industry experts come and speak and talk about commercial real estate in some way, somehow. So if I can be of help there to help educate you or your friends or family, always reach out to us. You can find the link to join us on www.dancinginvestments.com.
And folks, as always, Julie's contact information and that website will be down in the show notes for your clicking pleasure. So scroll right on down and you can find Dancing Investments down there. Last one, Julie. So, you know, one of our four pillars is philanthropy, people, property, profits, and philanthropy. It's kind of what makes us different as a community is everyone uses property and profits, you know, to further their wealth. But, you know, we kind of bookend that with people and philanthropy. So I love to give my guests on the show an opportunity just to share your philanthropic heart and kind of where you like to give back, your whether it's your time, your talents, or your treasures. And, you know, if there's a link to be had, we'll put it down. Sometimes people give on your behalf. So what's that for you?
Yeah, I just do it on a local level. I've gotten involved in our senior center here. I serve lunch on Tuesdays where I'm interacting with a senior clientele that is in my city. And I absolutely love it. I get to hear their struggles. I get to hear their joy. We play bingos once a month. I love giving back. It really touches my heart to be able to see where their generation has been and how we can incorporate it into ours and make some good decisions, hopefully by learning from where they've been and how we can further ourselves into a great nation.
I love that. Julie, this has been a fantastic episode having you on here. I so appreciate you coming on. Would you real quickly share the best way to get in contact with you just audibly in case someone wants to take it that way? And folks, remember, it is in the show notes. If you are driving or something like that, be safe. But go ahead, Julie.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I'm on all the social medias, Facebook, Julianne Peterson, LinkedIn, Julianne Peterson. And certainly feel free to call me up at 630-453-7150. Always happy to take your call.
Julie, thank you for the expertise. Maybe we do this again in a couple of months or just a couple of weeks because the market's changing that fast on us right now. So
it is. I'd love to. Thank you so much for the opportunity to visit and share with your people here.
Do you manage multiple legal entities? Is your data scattered across various unsecure systems? Is your team spending too much time on manual processes? Do you struggle to meet reporting deadlines? Simplify entity management and compliance with Entity Keeper. Entity Keeper helps easily manage entities, build and maintain complex organizational charts, and track filing deadlines, all in one secure, cloud-based platform. And with automated alerts and centralized document storage, you'll stay two steps ahead of compliance deadlines. Click the link in the show notes to learn more and book a demo.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Julie, dear friend of mine, been in this business for a long time. You're seeing what's out there. You know, you're seeing what your options may or may not be. And I think you're hopefully hearing that if you're having any sort of these symptoms, act now. Do not wait. Get a plan together. Figure out what your options are and just take action. We're going to see this get better at some point, but I don't think it's going to get better fast enough for, you know, you to wait it out. So position your portfolio to sail through the hurricane or get ready to liquidate it, whichever one it is that fits your situation best. But reach out if you need help. Happy to help you. This has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Until next time, over and out.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway Podcast.